being rewarded the folks that come back on Sunday night with a punishment. The same sermon power of scripture in the last 4 Sunday nights. And I will say what it is that suffering law and appreciation toward him that I'm suggesting the rest of you can read an entire sermon today. Tonight, I will finish this lesson and finish the series of writing from Jesus Christ and his disciples. That will be the 6th. But I thought it would be good. I thought it would be good today. I thought it would be good this morning to bring some of those thoughts to you. It's not exact, but it's close. This very Sunday, while we have arrived, and it's not calendar, is pretty close to the Sunday that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the mountain. His triumphal entry. It was the week that Jesus came to lay claim to the kingdom that he promised. He had recently, in previous days, called Lazarus out of the tomb after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And from that time on, Jesus was the only thing pretty much anybody in Judea wanted to talk about leading up to that Passover. I think anyone with eyes could see the richness of the situation. It really profiled the celebrity of the Passover. And the religious establishment in Jerusalem, the power brokers in Jerusalem, felt that they didn't do something. In fact, the problem is that Jesus, because of Lazarus' resurrection, was so great that they not only put a hit out on Jesus, but they put a hit out on Lazarus as well. And so they apparently decided that this is a problem. If they didn't do something now, then this Passover was going to be more about Jesus than their precious festival. The riches of that. But the religious leaders weren't the only ones that were wrong about Jesus. Even the people who were praising him and came into the city, Matthew 21, verse 9, they said, to the son of David. Mark chapter 1, verse 10, blessed is the coming of our father, David. It's messianic. Terminology, Savior terminology. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Mark chapter 12, verse 13. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how the mouth and other words that are as true today as law. And still, the mind doesn't understand what the mouth is saying. They were right to praise him. They were right to elevate him. They were right to call him Son of David and King of Israel. The mouth was right. But what they meant when they said it was something else. And when he proves that, by the end of the week, this on Sunday, by the end of the week, in fact, before the week ended, and challenging some of those very people who stood there, lying about their beats to come into the city, who threw away the palm branches in the path on the road on Sunday, were shouting, "Crucify them! His blood be on us!" And I'll have to support you to leave. And John admits to us that even folks and Jesus' disciples didn't understand what was happening. John wrote, at first, his disciples did not understand it. By the way, all of that stuff was being resolved. He's one of those disciples. John 12, verse 15. At first, his disciples did not understand it. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. I'm sure we've seen the ads in the papers. I'm sure we've noticed the merchandise on the shelves. I'm sure we've seen the signage. And if you'll permit me, just a moment of temporary, contextualized criticism, criticism of the moment. The resurrection of Jesus is a big deal. But Easter is big news. And even churches can't resist. I told you all the cynicism and criticism in my life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those people celebrating Easter. I want to get more people being in our assembly on Easter. I've had so many times to go to Easter and Christmas. Thank God. It's something that we should experience and be thankful for. But the irony, can't be lost on us. I mean, us, since us Christians. The irony can't be lost on us. That the one thing that our Lord asked us to do for him on the first day of the week, the primary thing that brought the saved people together on the first day of the week was to observe a memorial in honor of him and show forth his gift. Not to crucify him again, but to memorialize him and to show forth, Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as offering to eat his bread and drink his cup, you demonstrate, you show forth. It's not just for us. We often focus on the for us aspect of coming together and sharing this in this memorial of him. But it's not just for us. It's to show forth. It's a declaration. It's to put the stamp forever on the pages of history. It's to etch Jesus in the stone of the memory of man. The church keeps hammering the memorial. Week after week after week for 2,000 years. How staggering it is to think of this irony, or proposition, probably a better word. That we spend thousands of dollars promoting and doing what we want and what we like on one Sunday for resurrection. Which scattered the scriptures. And she had God after a Sunday. Where was he gone? Any Sunday could be that Sunday. Again, I want to look to be saved. But follow the scriptures as we have God and we ask for it. That will be the production. That will be the day that we pray. God didn't, but we did. I mean, we demand God's people to follow it. While simultaneously and arbitrarily defining that we will memorialize Christ once in a while, the way he wants it to be done. On the third day, the iron the other hand wants on me, without saying it, they say, we determine not to go into the home do it, but Christ and him resurrected. Well, yes, it's too wrong. Nothing wrong with acknowledging and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But priority. If Jesus Christ had been crucified, it's not the message. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians. I don't know how to all the comments with that now, four lessons ago on Sunday night. But Paul is dealing with a congregation of God's people, appealing to Jesus Christ and his crucified as the standard of the march of the church. That's what God wants every day. That's what God wants hoping of Jesus Christ when he crucified. Paul wasn't just using power and language to say, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and he crucified. But the particular context of that in 1 Corinthians 8, he starts out with the convention that you know them. The answer to that is not less, but more Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if that's not as a tool, if you can't do that, you can only weep. If you can't remember the heck that you stole, if you can't be bothered to remember Jesus on the first day of the week and to declare what he did for us, then the resurrection celebration is just a romanticism. So before it happened for today, it's like the priorities were out of order when Jesus came into Jerusalem. So also the priorities are out of place today for many. The donkey should have been included. No white horse, no flamboyant parade. Those are armies, not even a sword, seeing that it's doctrine. Here's your king, the reception. Here's your conqueror, Israel. Not rallying time, but slowly, climbing. Down with men rise. If you've never envisioned a scene in your mind of Jesus triumphantly riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and not at least broken smile, you haven't been thinking. If you see your people to make God's priorities in favor of their own, we either forget or we don't realize that there's more resurrection to talk about next time. Without crucifixion in your feet. I understand that the resurrection is valuable. I understand that the resurrection is fundamental to you. If you've heard me say it many times, I hope that you understand that. Next week, the resurrection will be proclaimed by many, many people, and much soon will be done by us. It goes to some of us. Not arguing that point. It's just a reminder of what they are not following. But how they got this, the priority. At the center of our day is indeed the resurrection of Jesus. It will bring us to Him. God's great proof of everything that He explained, the reason why Jesus went to the cross, and the truth of Christ in the resurrection. Absolutely. And we can talk to God as well. But while the resurrection is a promise, crucifixion is a fact. It doesn't just comfort chronologically in the life of Jesus, which only makes sense. It comes first in priority. Jesus said, for this reason, I came to your power. He consistently talks to the disciples, beginning in Matthew 16. He began telling them that he must go to Jerusalem. And there he would get to all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and be crucified, and then raised again on the third day. Welcome to the resurrection that Peter was opposed to, and it's a crucifixion. It was a death. And then Jesus would say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. It's the crucifixion that holds the law and power of Christ. The resurrection was a dividend paid for the investment of the crucifixion. There is no resurrection next week, without crucifixion this week. That's why we remember Him and demonstrate, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, show forth His death until He comes. Our very being is here. Paul, in Galatians chapter 2, applies it personally. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is risen in me. And the life I am not living, but Christ I live, I am living in the Son of God, who loved me and gave me Himself for me. The resurrection will help you believe. This week was a lot. The next week was a lot. The promise of the week to come. This week, though, crucifixion. The past. The past of pain. The past of suffering. The past of sacrifice. The day. The other one wants to resurrect it. Everyone wants to promise. Everyone wants to strive to come. But the path of crucifixion, the path of Christ before resurrection is crucifixion. The churches mark the Lord on crucifixion. The promise is resurrection. The crucifixion, dying with Christ. And not just dying one time, although there is death. We die for Christ's cause and church. You die and your life is in the God in Christ. We die. It's not just death. We keep on dying. Jesus died to slow death, one ancient writer said about crucifixion, because it took so long, so many people lingered on the cross for days. Jesus was on the cross for about 6 hours. Jesus endured the slow death. If we're going to have resurrection, it would be great when you came past shouting from the rooftop. But if we're going to have resurrection, we first have to have crucifixion, and not just one, but daily. Jesus said, anyone would follow me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That is the path. That's the difficulty. That's the investment. The investment of thousands of slow deaths, thousands of daily problems. And nevertheless, though we die, we still live. But in that we live by faith in the blood of God who gave himself for us. So little by little, we die. And we're reminded that we were once again this week, just a few moments later, that the world is in Christ to God. That's what we need. What we can do. It's all magical power. It's all magical part of peace. It's to embrace the death of Christ. His body. His heaven of his love. The giving of yourself. A similar time is that giving of himself. We're willing to. Paul wrote this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. And for those who have not been crucified with Christ, that is exactly the point Paul was making that we were in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We were buried with him. Through baptism. In peace. Yes. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the Lord and Father, even so we also should walk and in this life. That life is daily now in Christ. It's pretty good. Let us. It's been a word to be taken this morning. If you've never been crucified with Christ, we encourage you to take the path. To take the path. Yes. Yes. Thank you.